Tonight's lesson is called Profitable Prescription. A profitable prescription. I tried to do a little history on prescription medicine, but it probably dates back to about the beginning of time, where somebody got sick, so they gave them grass or something like that, and just elevated from there. I know Keely could tell us more about the oils, because they started using oils. And then we got to the point now where we have pills and they can work. You know, in the accounts of the Bible date back to the beginning of history. We have the creation written by Moses, so we're able to go back that far. So we've deemed our time to the beginning up until now. Medicine can be very good for us, and the Word of God definitely is. So we're going to have some issues that some people have with prescriptions, and as well as the Word of God. You know, talk about medicine, forget to take it. We've all been there, but we make a habit of it. We're never going to get better. So we look at prescription drugs. You have the right prescription, and you intend to take it, but you forget. Bottle just sits there gathering dust. And do we have a realistic hope to get better? Took the time to go to the doctor. Took the time to get the prescription. Took the time to get the prescription filled. You get home, you forget to take your medicine. And if you do this on a regular basis, you're never going to get better from what the medicine was prescribed for. Let's look over at scriptures. You know from experience that scripture will help you with whatever problem you have. That's the beauty of the Bible. Still relevant today, will always be relevant until the Lord returns. If you have a Bible and the freedom to read it if you want to, but you keep forgetting. You know, we say, you know I really need to study my Bible. You know, I really need to do that, but I just keep forgetting to do it. I'm just so busy with things that are so important that I just keep forgetting to read my Bible. So what's the solution of this forgetfulness? You know, we have to find out what is important and make a habit of it. I believe it's 21 days. If you do something for 21 days consecutively, it becomes a habit. And so we consider the importance of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Went to a different translation for Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Thought it rendered it well. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. If we're focused on being pleasing to God the Father, we're not going to forget to take our biblical medicine. We're going to put a focus on learning and growing daily. You apply it incorrectly. You know, you've gone to the doctor. Let's say it is for headaches. You go to the doctor. Doctor prescribes you some medicine. The medicine works. And then you run out of the medicine. So instead of going back to the doctor to get it reapplied, you go, hey, I've got some athlete's foot cream that I used last year, and I'm going to apply it liberally to my forehead. Now, you rub the ointment on your forehead. I have elbow up here, so your elbow's hurting. But if you have headaches, rubbing athlete foot cream on your head isn't going to work. You haven't done it right. So the Bible, we see that this can apply in two different ways. Some people have good intentions, but just don't have the skills required to properly apply what you're reading. If you have a King James Version, it can be difficult. I feel like I'm a smart dude, but you put a King James Bible in front of me, and I'm going to have trouble making heads or tails of it. I wasn't raised with the King James. My wife was. She reads from her King James and loves it. It's just not me. So I use a translation that is still good for Greek for Greek, the English Standard Version, and able to understand what I'm going over. But then there is another way. And if you don't understand, talk to someone who does. We have elders, we have deacons, we have preachers, we have seasoned members who have devoted their lives to studying the Word of God. Find someone that you can study with. But then there's the misapplication on the other side. The other way is to approach the Scriptures with a particular conclusion in mind before you search God's Word. Search until you find something to twist to fit what you believe. I grew up in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And that is the Baptist Mecca of the South, if I'm in a mixed religions. Ouachita Baptist University is in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. So I learned quickly how to defend myself using the Scriptures while it pertains to baptism. They would ask me questions about baptism. I would go in Scriptures, and I had a friend who didn't like that very much. And we were talking about baptism, and this time he was talking about the mode. He says, "You can sprinkle." I'm like, "That doesn't make sense. It comes from the word immersion. You can't sprinkle, you can't pour. It's immersed." So he looked through his Bible till he got in the Old Testament and found somewhere where someone sprinkled dirt on somebody. And he went, "See, they sprinkled and it was okay." And I was dumbfounded. I was like, how far is this guy willing to go to not accept what the Bible says about baptism? It was totally and utterly dishonest. The Bible should shape our beliefs. Our beliefs shouldn't shape the Bible. And that's not a condemnation on our denominational friends. Some haven't studied to be able to find what is truly right. Some are dishonest about it. But we need to be gentle in our approach with everyone as we share the Word. So we consider the two different ways to misapply the Bible. The solution. Approach the Bible searching for what God has to say on an issue or topic. Get help from a trusted Christian friend. The 34th Psalm in verse 4, "I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." An approach to our living as well as our of Scripture, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." When we approach Scriptures to find what God would have us to do, how God would have us to live, and what God would have us to be, we need to focus on truly what God would have us do in all of those things. Instead of say, "This is what I am willing to do, let me find Scriptures that fit my belief system." We need to seek and do what God would have us to do. Anything else is misusing Scripture. You don't fill the prescription. That's another problem that we find. We'll go to the doctor, we'll be diagnosed with something, get the prescription, and then not take to get it filled. You know, you took the time to go to this doctor. You know, maybe I'll go today. Today's not good. Maybe I'll go tomorrow instead. An issue that was pressing enough for you to go to the doctor all of a sudden isn't pressing enough to get that prescription filled. We do the same thing sometimes when it comes to the Bible. A friend or mentor has seen something that you're going through and tells you that they read or meditated on a certain psalm and it helped them get through a similar problem. You know, and you think about it from time to time and just too busy right now. I might get to it next week. Been given the solution, but aren't going to read it. So what's the solution? Going to reference Ecclesiastes. We should be familiar with Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7 and verse 5, "It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools." In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, "For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life." The Word of God truly lights our path. If we're seeking ways to improve where we are spiritually, why do we go anywhere else but to the Bible? If we have seasoned Christians who say, "You know, maybe you should look here," it'd be a good idea to do that. There's some people that just won't even go to a doctor. Have we met people like that? They're sick. They're hacking up a lung. They're something isn't right. I just don't want to go to the doctor. I don't believe in them. You hurt, and you know there's likely something that could bring you relief, but you don't want to ask. The doctor might think you're weird or that you're weak. Or someone may find out that you are not the physical specimen of health you pretend to be. If you're a macho guy, they might find out that you're no longer an Adonis among men. But there's a weakness. Adonis among men, that makes me laugh. So we consider, people say, you know what, I don't want to show I'm weak, but I'm going to kill myself a little bit longer because I don't want to go to the doctor to get the situation fixed. Same thing happens pertaining with the Bible. You know, if someone who has struggled with something that you are struggling with and has overcome it, but you just can't bring yourself to ask where to look in the Bible for help, you know, you'll just figure it out on your own, right? Or turn to different places. Reader's Digest has some really inspiring stories and does have some pretty good jokes. But those things won't help me to get better spiritually. So what's the solution to not even going to the doctor? Swallow your pride and get the help you need. Swallow your pride and get the help that you need. And pride is an interesting beast, isn't it? Pride is an interesting beast where you could go out and do something to improve your life, to improve the lives of those around you, and also to be able to be more effective in your Christianity. Yet people decide they don't want to. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. I'm going to tell on myself. I got really, really sick about 2 weeks ago. And about the Thursday or Friday before, Lisa said, you know what? It might be good for you to go to the doctor. And I was like, no, I got this. I'm gonna get better. I'm overcoming this. And Lisa just told me, she said if I'd gotten any worse, she was gonna try to drag me to the hospital. But I went to the doctor and was all kinds of sick. I don't think I've been that sick in a long time. I thought I was doing okay. Now imagine, let's tie this to the spiritual realm. If I do whatever I think is okay, I'm going to be in a world of hurt. Not only spiritually, but I'm going to get myself into all kinds of trouble, probably with the law. So if we're going to consider our way, mankind's way, isn't the best way. The best way is to go through the Word of God. Wise counsel. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but an abundance of counselors, there is victory. You know, while I was in preaching school, there was a congregation that needed a preacher to come out. Their preacher had moved on. They had dwindled in size so much they could no longer support him. So he had to go somewhere else to preach, so they started bringing in preaching students. And this congregation was a prime location. And the congregation had gone from 200, 250 members down to about 20. And that auditorium was big. And we found out what the preacher was doing was preaching fluff. Feel-good sermons. He didn't want to offend anyone. And wanted to get up and just do things in such a way that nobody's feathers would ever get ruffled. And people that are truly searching for God's Word aren't going to put up with that for very long. So this congregation dwindled, and I'm a preaching student all full of fire, and get in and preach some hard sermons. And unfortunately, those elders, you need to calm down. These people aren't used to this. In a knee-jerk reaction or two later, they're without a preaching student to come out and preach. I came in, filled in a few more times, and I don't even know if that congregation is in existence anymore. They were wanting to get as high dollar amount for their building. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. If you're visiting tonight, attend with a congregation that seeks the Bible, that preaches what the Bible says, that has a desire for you to grow in a way the Bible would have you to grow. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But an abundance of counselors, there is victory. We look in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. For by wise guidance you will wage war. In an abundance of counselors there is victory. You know, people talk about Christianity being a peaceful religion. It is. But there are certain spiritual fights that we have to go out and fight. Wisdom will dictate what we need to go and attack. You wouldn't want to set fire to your house because you have a spider inside. But wise guidance will help you wage this spiritual war. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. We look to the Word of God to find how to approach and work with people, as well as how to deal with issues. So, if we have a problem and you don't want to go and fix it, swallow your pride and get the help you need. This one's different. This one is different. This is our last point. You take too much of a prescription. Your head really hurts more than normal today. So you decide to take triple the recommended dose. You know, that will get the pain to dissipate three times as fast, right? Nope. Your liver's going to be hurting for that. You know, there was a guy that I went to junior high with who was just muscle on top of muscle. He was a grown man when he was 12. I was in the Rogers School District in Rogers, Arkansas, and there were 15 elementary schools. And we had a thing called the Mini Mountie Relays, and a certain amount of students going to one of the giant junior highs would go to one, and a certain amount of the schools that went to the other junior high would go. And I remember seeing Cheyenne for the first time. And I thought he was about 6 feet tall, had a full beard. Probably didn't really have a full beard at his 12 years old. Only Ben had a full beard when he was 12. But, I mean, this guy was muscular and looked like he was about 20. And my dad was there, and my dad's like, is that a man that's playing for that team? He had surgery when he was 25 years old and accidentally overdosed on the medicine and died. Accidents happen when we take too much medicine, we take too much pharmaceuticals, we can pass away. Taking more doesn't help. But on the flip side, you find that properly taken as directed, reading and applying God's Word really does work. In an effort to increase the effects, you decide to spend a lot more time reading and applying. And the funny thing is this works even better. The more that we look into God's Word, the more we apply God's Word, the happier we will be and the stronger we can be. If we see someone that has a wisdom that we're envious of, I doubt that they would say, you know what, I never picked up my Bible until I started drawing Social Security. Then I started studying. That's not going to happen. You'll have a spiritual 12-year-old if that's the case. But you'll find people that diligently study the Word of God and apply it appropriately have the best lives when it comes to doing as God would have us to do. The solution here when it comes to applying more Bible. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life in peace they will add to you. The 119th Psalm in verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. And from the HCSB version, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses every thought will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When I study and find how temptations work, if something is a temptation for me, I'm going to go around it. We have a mindset in some circles today that I want to get as close as I can to the line of sin. without actually, quote unquote, sinning. If we're truly to apply the Bible as we should be as far away from sin as we can be. We've got to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world if we're going to touch on one of the things Chris said this morning. So our conclusion, do you forget to take the most important message that there is, the most important medicine? Do you forget to read your Bible? Find a way to make it a habit. Are you applying it in the right way? Do you study the Word of God in with your desire being obedience to the Father? Are you filling the prescription that could help you? People around say this is something you could study. Let's have a Bible study. Let's work together. If you have people offering you that, take them up on it. If they're a member here at North Jefferson, you're going to be in good hands. And are you willing to do what it takes to cure the problem? Do whatever it takes to be right with God. This evening, if you haven't applied the best medicine that there is and become a Christian, I'd encourage you to do so this evening. If you've heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism, you'll come in contact with the blood of Christ to walk in a newness of life, ready to be faithful until death. But if you are a Christian, you haven't been applying the best medicine there is as you should, and you need help, be it a study, be it prayers, whatever it may be, don't hesitate to get the help that you need. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.